The blood that gives me strength from a day. Thank you. white as snow.
Father, thank you this morning for the blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blood. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Holy Spirit, for the efficacy of the blood of Jesus. That's the prayer this morning. The blood, the efficacy of the blood of Jesus. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. Thank you, God. The blood, the finished work of Calvary, the blood of Jesus. Thank you this morning. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the blood. There it is. Okay. Thank you for your blood. Saving, cleansing, delivering blood. Good morning, Minister Hill.
Good morning, Dr. Erica. Good morning, Jesus believers all over the world. Enough has been said, and I pray everybody has that same sentiment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for
thank
the blood.
You.
It still works.
Yes.
Power in the blood, just like there's power in the name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
All hearts and minds are clear. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. Sorry. For I have delivered, received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
You know, as I was taking mine this morning, I could just see after he had died, how the power of God pulled that blood from his body to be poured out at the base of that cross. Nothing but the power of God that made that blood flow after death. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I have a quick lesson this morning. This, too, is like last week, is on leadership. But today I'm looking at Abraham. And, you know, when you were talking about Abraham this week, I said, because I had thought, well, I'm not going to do this. Then you were talking about him this week, so I say, okay, I'm going to go ahead. And I began with Genesis 12, when God called Abraham. Abraham only, and Abraham called Lot. They took their leave. And they came to the land of Cana.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord appeared unto Abraham, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there Abraham built an altar to the Lord. They continued their journey, and he pitched his tent between Bethel and Hai. There he also built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. You don't see Lot doing anything. He's following. He's following Abraham. The two households journeyed onward, and they found famine in the land. So they went down to Egypt to live. And it was there we know that Abraham enticed Sarah to lie about being his sister and not his wife. As the story goes, Pharaoh sees her, takes her into his house, and he gives Abraham gifts and servants for her. But God intervened that he not touch her. I'm going to go on to chapter 13. Abraham and Lot journeyed from Egypt because Pharaoh put Abram out of Egypt when he found out the truth. So they journeyed from Egypt with all that they had back to where he pitched his tent between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar. And there he called upon the name of the Lord. They both prospered greatly in Egypt. They left with great wealth, so much so that the land where they resided couldn't sustain them both. And the herdsmen of both began to quarrel. So what does Abraham do? He tells Lot to... they need to separate. And he gives Lot the choice of whether to go to the right or to the left, whatever. And he hands over what he actually is doing. Now, the Lord had already told him that this land was for him and his seed. But he is like he's handing over a portion of his inheritance. But Lot had no title to any inheritance in Cana. It was to Abram and his seed after him.
That's right.
Lot was not Abram's seed. He was not due land in Cana. So Lot chooses what he sees to be the better, the choice land. But God didn't honor Abram's decision to give Lot land. God had made a promise, and neither Lot nor Abram could cause him to go back on his word. This was a plan of God. So they separated, and Lot chose what he thought was choice land, and the land was good, but what was in the land wasn't good. So then God tells Abram to look north, south, east, and west, for all the land is his and his seed forever. All this is chapter 13. God was not going to slight Abram for Lot's sake. For it wasn't just Abram, it was his seed, Isaac. And Genesis 13:14, the scripture says, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. Remember, the place where Abram came back to, the place where he had pitched his tent, was on a mountain. So when that's why Lot was able to see the fertile valley. But when God told Abram to look north, south, east, and west and see all that the Lord had given him, that included Lot's fertile valley. So Abraham builds another altar unto the Lord and Moray. War breaks out in the valley, and Sodom and Gomorrah, their kings, join the valley. And to just shorten it up, Lot was taken, his family and all his goods. Abram had to intervene and go after Lot and his family. And he returned with them and all of their goods. Now, had Abram not never brought Lot with him, this would have been a battle that he would not have had to fight. If Abraham had not brought Lot with him, Lot's daughters would never have lived in this land, possibly never have lived in this land and learned the behaviors that they learned, so much so that they plotted to receive seed from their own father. After they had got, the angel had spared them from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. So if God calls you, and if he doesn't call somebody with you, don't add one. My point concerning Lot, though, is that he's not entitled to any part of Abraham's inheritance. So God blessed Lot for Abraham's sake. God gave Lot's descendants land, but the Bible says it was short, just short of the promised land. So it was outside of the promised land. And he told Israel not to trouble them, because he had given that land to them. And it was the same thing with the children that Lot's daughter had for him, producing the Moabites and the Ammonites. And what they actually did that was, brought on by Abraham bringing Lot with him, he produced nations that would be against him. He did the same thing with Ishmael. He produced a nation that would be against the Israelites. So, in taking somebody with you, not called, when they stir up strife, dividing the people, then separating from you, the first thing they want to do is try to destroy your ministry by discrediting you. They want to turn the hearts and minds of the people from you to themselves. That was about, in ministry. When you got somebody with you that shouldn't be with you. And we see that a lot when churches split. They build off you, but then they try to destroy you, to discredit you, because they want as many as will to follow them. So though this is a lesson about leadership, Abraham wasn't called to lead a people. Abraham was chosen to teach his family to obey God. That's Genesis 18 and 19. In the English Standard Version, it reads this way: "For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." So although, he was called to teach, it was just like with Adam and Eve. He didn't have the law. He had one: just obey God. You see, the law was given with Moses, and I believe that's probably a lot of the reason why the Lord allowed Moses to talk to him the way he did, there was no law. Until Moses. And after the law was given, Moses and everybody else was accountable to keep that law. So for the Christian, to teach your family is not just to teach, but to train up. And to train is to lead by doing, by example. So I heard a man say, I was watching Sid Roth, and he said, you don't practice what you preach. You preach what you practice. Because if you practice, if you do it the other way, you know, it makes a hypocrite out of you if you're not living it. So whether you're leading a ministry, a church, a people, or your own family, and we're all called to teach our own children, obey God and teach them to obey God. And when I thought I was through with this lesson, the Lord said this morning, it starts at home. As an adult, you follow Christ, and as a child, it begins with obeying your parents. So again, I say the word he gave me this morning, it starts at home. But then I considered, why did Abraham have to leave home? Because they served idols. Abraham's father, grandfather, they served.
I'm sorry.
They served idols in the land. So God had to remove Abram from them. So, you know, we all know you can't put too many grown-ups under one roof. You would have had Abraham trying to serve God in the midst of serving idols, and his house would have been learning the same things that the father and the grandfather were doing. So he had to separate Abram. But my main point, when it comes to leadership, it starts at home. Amen.
Praise God. Starts at home. Praise God. It does. Well, you know, if you don't learn to follow on earth, man, it's probably going to be pretty tough if you make it to heaven, huh? You can't, if you don't know how to follow, because it's only one leader.
Right.
Three in one. But the bottom line is, it's hard to receive from God, which is where I was going, where I am going. It's hard to receive from God if you can't follow him. Makes it kind of difficult. Praise the Lord. Makes it kind of difficult. Is that it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. Brothers and sisters, ask Jesus right now, wherever you are in this universe, ask him to help you to follow him. Just wherever you are, Jesus, help me to follow you. You said, your sheep hear your voice. You said, your sheep follow your voice. And you said, you know us that follow you. So help us to become better followers of you. You see, brothers and sisters, opposition to God's will is Satan's main agenda. The word Satan means adversary. But as we know, Satan is primarily God's adversary. Number one, primarily God's adversary. And then secondarily, Satan is man's adversary. So this morning, I'm going to rebuke one spirit because there's too many of you right now that are sick, and Satan is trying to unloose a predatory demon. You know what predators do, right? They attack the weak. They attack the injured. They pounce on and kill those that have been wounded. And you know who the biggest predator in the jungle is, right? Well, if you don't, the biggest predator in the jungle is a predator that operates under a lie. The lie is he's the king of the jungle. But the biggest predator in the jungle is the lion. The lion doesn't go after the strongest one in the herd. The lion sits and watches. And the lion watches the one in the back of the herd. Now, or the pack, or the whatever, you know, the group of cats, lions. So a lion, when it charges, it's going after the back. Did you know that? I used to study, like I did a serious study on snakes, and I did a serious study on the lion because I used to have this artist, and I would buy denim jackets for myself only because as a missionary and an itinerant minister, I could always wash a denim jacket because that time after I was going to commit suicide, I told you I came to my senses on a Kmart parking lot. And that was the first time I ever wore a pair of jeans. I went into Kmart, I bought a pair of jeans and some tennis shoes and a t-shirt because my mother didn't allow us to wear jeans. She was old school. And I realized I could wash those jackets, but they were so plain. And God sent this artist, art teacher, really. She was a teacher at University of California, LA. And she traveled with me as a missionary, but her thing was art. So I would buy these denim jackets, and she would paint on the back of the jacket beautiful scenes from the Bible. And on one of my jackets, she painted the lion of the tribe of Judah. And I knew that was Jesus. So I was wondering to myself, why would God use a lion? So I went and did a study on lions. And I found out that a lion was a predator. Praise God. As big as his roar is, and as big as that lion is, it's a predator species, or in the species of predators, I ever go. And so when I matched that with deliverance, I found out, excuse me, that's one of the other characteristics of Satan. So you need to know and understand your adversary. Yeah, the angel is here, but it didn't say anything. It's just standing. But then it was almost like the angel was watching me. And yesterday, I got called. Texas, but mostly Texas. A one infirmity after another from people. And I said, now wait a minute. I know what I've been teaching. So it's very clear. But then the Holy Spirit that refreshed my understanding of the fact that the devil uses the natural results of the fall of humanity to cause sickness. And so then the Holy Spirit was pointing out he uses bacteria, he uses malnutrition. See, when God shows you things, he ain't just showing you your little world, he be showing you the whole world. He uses poison, and it's going to be a lot of poisoning coming up because of the fact that the president of Russia has brought it out in the open, how he uses poison as his tactics, as one of his tactics, which we know it comes from Satan. He uses rapists, murderers. You know what else he uses? Accidents, all kind of accidents. He uses fights, all kind of fights. But regardless of whatever he uses, his purpose is sickness, pain, suffering, and sometimes death. Sometimes death. So I need you to help me because I didn't have time because that angel, before it stopped talking yesterday, it was showing me how to teach people and how to share with people, I should say share, how God uses dreams and visions. And how the angel was talking to me about the main way that God is going to be communicating with his people is through dreams and visions. And that was early in the day. That was early in the day. So I just kind of, because I'm working on about two or three things as I'm working on. Brother Joe is working on getting these chairs packaged, right? And he worked out a real good deal with the package ship. And then I had some late Christmas presents. I'm getting those out too. So I'm, in the name of Jesus, God is using two people to do the work of four or five, and I like that. The two people being me and Brother Joe. And then, so that angel was telling me, the angel had me seek out. So I want somebody to look up, because the angel, the angel was telling me about adversarial relationships or having me seek it out. Adversarial relationships between God's people and the enemy. I actually have a website up. In one of my websites, your adversary, the devil. I know I got at least a threefold page website up about that right now. But what the angel was having me seek out and understand, because the angel knows I understand through the word of God. Not I don't even understand. I get understanding from the angel because you know, Jesus, God, sent angels many times in the Bible to minister to Jesus. When Jesus was, he never sent the angels when Jesus was in the middle of the pressure. But the Bible shows us that God sent the angels to minister to Jesus after Jesus had already overcome the issue, whatever the issue was. Right? Gethsemane. After Jesus was sweating blood from the agony and the pressure. And then it said God sent angels to minister to Jesus. Well, that wasn't just once. That was a couple of times in the Bible. So I want somebody to look up Job chapter 1, verse 6 and post it in the chat room for me. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Because this is going to show us how Satan is primarily God's adversary. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Can somebody post that in the chat room for me? Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Look here. And Satan came also among them. He was right with them. He was right there. Now, somebody else post Matthew chapter 13, verse 39. Satan is primarily God's adversary. Matthew chapter 13, verse 39. Can you post that? A couple people. Matthew 13, 39. The enemy that sold them is the devil, is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. So this shows us that the adversary is primarily God's adversary. Now, I want to show you secondary. He's man's adversary. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. Can you post that? Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. Zechariah, I need somebody. Okay. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Now I want you to post 1 Peter 5 and 8. 1 Peter 5 and 8. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter, thank you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. I mean, it does not get any clearer than that. Satan, number one, primarily is God's adversary. Number two, secondarily, man's adversary. So the devil also uses, like I just said, the natural results of the fall of humanity to cause sickness, regardless of the outcome of the sickness. It brings on suffering. It brings on pain. It brings on misery. And it brings on hardship, which can result in death. All of these are works of Satan. Or I should say, all of these are works of Lucifer, who became Satan, who became the devil. He is an enemy of humankind from hell itself. Except he ain't never been to hell yet. And he ain't in hell except for those angels that were cast into the bottomless pit for their work through the Nephilim and the Watcher. Okay? So, Satan is a thief. And you know the number one thing, one of the, I don't know, I guess one or two or three, but one of the main things is life. He's a thief of life. He's a thief of life. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care how he has to steal it. He doesn't care how grievous his acts are. He's a destroyer. He's a killer. And sometimes people think that the worst thing he can take is your life. Because he can't take your life. You have to give it to him. He can't take your life. He has to tempt you and trick you and deceive you. And then what he does, remember, his whole objective is to cause God pain in his heart. When God has to watch you, allow him to destroy your destiny. As God and his angels have to watch as you allow the devil and his demons to kill your dreams, which are and have been placed in you from God, because God knew you before he formed you in your mother's womb. It pains God as the devil uses his arsenal of badness and evil against you. So how do you know that? Well, the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. It says, because God was with him. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, Satan rarely, you got a few crazies who say, I'm doing this in the name of Satan, but Satan rarely stands up and says, look at me, look at what I'm doing. Mm-mm. He stands behind the works of his demonic hosts. He stands behind the works of the agents of Lucifer. He stands behind his dirty works so that you will put them on, demon. But you know what? You better look a little closer at some of these evil human spirits. Because Satan's main mission is to oppose God, to oppose God's plans, and to oppose God's purposes for his people. So, Satan and his cohort war against unbelievers to keep unbelievers and to make believers into unbelievers. As I said, he doesn't just operate to see you die in the flesh to go and where your worm never dies, but he wanna the pleasure of causing God pain in his heart. Do you know the Bible says that you crucify God afresh daily? Can somebody find that for me? When you sin, you crucify God all over again. You crucify Jesus afresh. That's what one translation reads, how you crucify. You crucify Jesus again and again and again. Jesus goes about doing good. So therefore, Satan, who counterfeits and opposes everything God does, he's going to stop at nothing to fight you in his hatred of God, in his agenda to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Thank you. Thank you. It's right here. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6, in the King James Version, if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Did you know that? When you sin against God, that's what you're doing. You're crucifying Jesus all over again. Putting him in your own heart to open shame. That's in Hebrews 6. And that goes into like, if you fall away and then being renewed again to repentance. So, this is why the devil will stop at nothing to fight you who are called to be a saint of God. That's why he doesn't care a thing about stealing, killing, destroying through families and through the control of specific territories. The Bible calls them principalities. But that's why certain areas are known for certain things. You know, like Las Vegas, known for crime. But it's not a crime to gamble. They used to call it Sin City. San Francisco is known for certain things. Different areas are known for certain things. Some different areas are known like for prostitution, witchcraft, things like that. These areas, well, remember, thank you, Holy Spirit, Daniel is related to the like Prince of Persia. That's in around Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 through 13, somewhere in there. But these demons of Satan have strongholds, and they're not all just spiritual strongholds, but they can be spiritual, they can be physical, they can be mental. Guess what they say? Strongholds over certain areas. It's like I used to minister on Skid Row. I used to walk Skid Row. I used to know lots of people in Skid Row when I worked with the missions, because I was trying to find out how missions operated. And I had to remember, as I was on Skid Row, what I used to take people on Skid Row was socks and apples. I used to get crates of apples. During that time, that's when I used to do the Miracle Fish Trap. I told y'all I picked up this guy on the highway, and his family owned a fish processing plant in Morro Bay, California. And he was hitchhiking because his mama had just died, and he went crazy. He lost his mind. And he was hitchhiking, and I was coming down from the Sierra Nevadas mountain range. I had been up there praying against Satanists and witches. And so I told the person who was driving, I said, stop. Pick that guy up. The Lord say, pick him up. Give him a ride. And from that time on, he sent us whole truck loads of fish. And whenever he would send the truck loads of fish, I would do what I call the miracle fish fry. And I would fry fish for those people on Skid Row and take them the hot fish fresh out the fish cooker. Anyway, what I was saying is, as I would go into Skid Row, I would always pray, God, let me go into this hell and build a fiery hedge of protection around me so that none of what's in this area will leave on me. And that I will not be a carrier of this oppression. And so that's when I learned it's better when you're working with Skid Row and homeless people not to live with them. Like Harriet Tubman, when she got free, she didn't go back and live with the slaves. She went back and got the slaves and brought them out into freedom. And that's the best way. That is the very best way, because these demons set up territories too. So in Daniel chapter 10, 12 and 13, you see the angel talking to Daniel. That was Gabriel, by the way. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the other chief princes or archangels, Michael came to help me. You see, angels even know they need help from one another. But there's something wrong with man. I guess man kind of went crazy when God said, have dominion. They took that thing way out of context. Have dominion over. You don't have no dominion over another human being. God didn't call you to do that. If you want to do something, take dominion over these demons. Take dominion over what's bothering your family. Get your family free first. I think that's what Minister Hill was saying this morning. Deal with your family. Because the Bible says that you would be saved and your household would be saved. Get the demonic strongholds from your area out of your family. It's a mother on here. Somebody gonna be healed this morning too. But there's a mother on here, and I've been trying. The enemy has been hindering me from calling this mother, because I want to tell this mother, your son, who is bound by drugs, the rehab is not going to help your son until the demons get cast out of your son. And then your son will be strong enough and have the capacity to withstand the demons that are operating and influencing the area where they came into your son at. That area has to be sanctified. You know, sanctified in its true definition means set apart. Set apart unto God. It's not your house that's the issue. Because if your house was the issue, your children would be all saved in your house. It's what they have to deal with when they step out the door into the world. They got to deal with what is in the environment. But if you can see God big enough, Jesus in you is big enough when he comes out of you to sanctify the whole area where you live, because you live there and because you have taken dominion over that part of the earth. I hope I'm making sense to you this morning. You see, these demonic hosts, I heard Minister Hill say Abraham set up that altar between Bethel and I can't remember the name of the other town, but when she said Bethel, you know what Bethel means? Bethel? It means house of God. Yeah, it means house of God. And in South Carolina, I had these other two apartments. I mean, this other house, rather. I lost that house because I couldn't afford it. But I set it up and somebody else got blessed. But I had the name of that house was E-H-E-M, Lahem. And Lahem is on the back of the word Bethlehem. Bethlehem. But when the disciples saw Jesus, the reason they expected Jesus to be a fighter and a warrior, because the definition of Lahem in the Hebrew is house of bread, house of fighters. And that's where the artist stayed with me that built all these beautiful, magnificent crosses to the specifications that God told me to tell him, not to tell him, to ask him. Here I have a world famous artist with sculptures in front of the Prudential Building in Chicago, with works in the New York Museum of Art, and I mean, you know what I'm saying? And I'm asking him to build crosses. And they built me a cross. Oh, no, they built several crosses. I took one and gave it to a preacher over in Kentucky for his church. They built me a round thing. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, it's a sign. If you come here, you'll see people wonder what it means. It means Lahem, house of bread and house of fighters. So when Jesus came from Bethlehem, they expected him to be a mighty fighter, a mighty warrior, and they expected him to be a mighty person of provision. And you know what? He is. He is. He is. And God always sends me these artists. And the reason I know that he does that is because, number one, I love art. But the love I have for art came from God. God placed that in me. But art has the ability to move the soul. Did you know that? Art has the ability. All of God, and I mean all of God created arts, have a purpose. And that purpose is not to be shut down by the enemy. That's why I always send young people instruments, any kind. The hymn, House of Bread, House of Fighters. And you know what? It's not and either, Monica. It's not and. It's one. House of Bread, House of Fighters. Not House of Bread and. House of Bread, House of Fighters. One thought, one purpose, and no and. Satan is referred to as the Prince of Darkness. And he has to have men and women working for him in teamwork in order to fulfill and accomplish his satanic missions in the world. Satan has people who worship him. Satan has people, and I mean, they are more dedicated than some Christians are to the purpose and the plans of God. Satan has people that he uses in his kingdom of darkness. Understand this. Stop being naive and ignorant. You see, Satan, Lucifer, devils, demons, and evil humans, spirits in evil human people are behind some of the most popular, chronic, and terminal sicknesses that exist in this world. They are more of the primary source of sickness, brothers and sisters, than any other source. Would you like to know why? Well, whether you want to or not, I'm going to tell you. Heaven has no sickness. If heaven has no sickness, that means that there can only be one place that is the source of all sickness, and that place is through devils and demons, and it ain't through hell. It's through the airways. It's through the airways. Because Satan does not abide in hell. Demons do not abide in hell. They abide in the airways. You breathe them in. And you breathe them out. That's why God says, cast out devils. Whenever I hear a preacher say or a man or a woman say, devil, go back to hell, I know they don't know what they're talking about. Because they ain't in hell. The Bible tells you they're going. They're going to pass through the lake of fire. They're going to that place. But they ain't there yet. And they ain't been there yet. He's the prince of the power of the air. How is, this probably be one of the few times I'm going to refer to this. How is COVID spread, brothers and sisters? Through the airways. How is the flu viruses spread? Through the airways. How is communicable diseases? How are they spread? Staph, strep, MERS, SARS, through the airways. Airways. He's the prince of the power of the air. Our demons spread 99% of the time. You hear me use the term spiritual. Airways. It's through the airways. What is it that you have to do? You don't breathe, you die. Wake up. So this morning, somebody gonna be healed. Because I'm gonna take authority in the name of Jesus over the airways. Over those germs, virus, bacteria, and I'm going to apply the efficacy of the blood of Jesus. The life of the body is in the blood. What does the blood carry? Oxygen. Isn't that right? How can a demon, how did those demons get to me? They got to me through the airway and through what I ingested in my mouth that went down my esophagus into the largest organ in my body, my colon. It went in through the blood. Father God, this morning, in the name of Jesus, get you some paper towels handy. We're going to just do a little bit of deliverance because it look like I'm already. Well, get you some paper towels and anoint yourself quickly, please. Prepare yourself.
Y'all know he's good.
Yeah, he's good like that.
like a doubt, but I can't deny his faithfulness in my own life.
Oh, hallelujah.
You can have a doubt, but I can't deny his faithfulness in my own life.
Ooh, let's go.
If I had a dollar for every time they said God wanted to go through, I'd be a millionaire.
Praise God. This is what I want you to do. I want you to take some oil and I want you to put it on your nose. I want you to put a little bit in the left nostril and a little bit in the right nostril. And then on top of your nose. And then on top of your lip. You know where you breathe? I want you to anoint your throat. I want you to anoint your chest area, your lungs, your respiratory system. And then when we get off the line, I want you to drink a little oil this morning in the name of Jesus. See, you're supposed to be experienced in heaven on earth because you're a saint of God. That hit I took, I know. That happened to me because I was totally responsible for it. Yep. But you see, you ain't supposed to be taking the same hit twice. So I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, today, this morning, right now. Today, this morning, right now. Today, this morning, right now. I renounce the prince of the power of the air. I renounce you. I renounce spirit of Lucifer. I renounce spirit of Satan. I renounce spirit of demons. Spirits of demons. And I tell you, all of you, I tell you, according to Luke chapter 10, you are subject unto me. Christ in me. God is in me. Jesus is in me. And I command you, come under subjection. Right now. Go! Cough them out. Go! Get out of my chest. Go! Get out of my respiratory system. Go! Go! I bind up and renounce the prince of the power of the air. Go! I renounce all airway spirits. Go! That came in through the sins of omission and commission. I bind you up right now. Go! Get out. Spirit of infirmity. I bind you up. Germs, viruses, bacteria. I bind you up. Any and all spirits that oppose God in my body, it doesn't matter how you came in. Prepare to exit. Go! Cough them out. pain. Go, inflammation. Go, every opposing spirit, all opposing spirits that oppose God, Jesus, and God's own Holy Spirit, go! 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 Lose your stronghold. Lose your stronghold. Go! Get out of my stomach. Inflammation. Go! Swelling. Go! Go! Get out! All trespassing demons and evil human spirits that operate through spiritual witchcraft and magic. Go! Get out. That cause sickness and disease. Go! Infirmity. Go! Get out. Lose your stronghold and go. Right now. Right now. My house is a lahim. A house of bread and a house of fighters. Go, Satan. Go, Lucifer. Go! I bind that dragon this morning. That dragon of inflammation. Loose that body. Inflammation. Go out of that brain. Go. Now you repeat after me in the name of Jesus. I loose the Spirit of God. The influence of the Holy Spirit. Hover and abide. Over the influence that God has given me in this earth realm. Heaven on earth, I call you into manifestation this morning because you belong to me. Heal, Holy Spirit. Heal every area that was emptied out. Heal by Jesus' stripes. Heal. Heal this morning. Heal every joint and heal the marrow. Heal the marrow. Which is where they get, quote, stem cells from. Heal. Heal the body this morning. Heal. By your stripes, I am healed this morning. By your stripes, I am strengthened this morning. By your stripes, I am strong. Heal. 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 Every spirit cast out, go to the pit until the day of judgment by Jesus Christ. I destroy the seed, the works, the fruits, the deeds of the spirits of revenge, retaliation, and lashback. Go! And come no more. Come on out. Stiffness. Swelling. Go! Inflammation. Go! Inflammation. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Y'all ready to go to church, man?
Thank you.
Put your hands together. Come on, let's go to church. Oh, Jesus Christ came to earth as a man, healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, casting out demons and raising the dead, restoring the crowd to soundness of body and mind. The work he did, he said, were not his own. He took his orders from his Father on the throne. He healed them all and sent others two by two, and told his disciples of the greater work that they would do. Peter and John saw a man lame from birth. He sat at the gate, begging for silver and gold. And Peter said to him, rise up and walk. In Jesus' name, he rose and did as he was told. They didn't go crawling before the throne of grace, asking if healing was God's will in this case. They knew God's will when they saw the Son at work, because Jesus was the image of the Father in the flesh revealed. Be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, be healed. In the name of the one who bore your sicknesses, be healed.
Jesus. came to earth as a man, healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, casting out demons and raising the dead, restoring the crowd to soundness of body and mind. The work he did, he said, were not his own. He took his orders from his Father on the throne. He healed them all and sent others two by two, and told his disciples of the greater work that they would do. Peter and John saw a man lame from birth. He sat at the gate, begging for silver and gold. And Peter said to him, rise up and walk. In Jesus' name, he rose and did as he was told. They did as though crawling before the throne of grace, asking if healing was God's will in this case. They knew God's will when they saw the Son at work, because Jesus was the image of the Father in the flesh revealed. Be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, be healed.
The lady that got the deliverance, I'm 2 months old. Can you just text me? Let me know how you, let me know that you're okay. And that I know God is still delivering you. So can you just text me and let me know you're all right? And let me know what's happening. The lady that got delivered, oh, receiving much deliverance. How'd you make it sleeping last night? How was your sleep last night? And how was your husband's sleep last night? Great. Praise God, praise God. Be healed this morning, brothers and sisters. Infirmity left you, left your generation.
In the name of the one who bore your sickness,
don't waste your time. You got a healer. You got a healer. You got a healer. Get ready. don't change.